Hello and welcome. We're going to do our case for this evening, and it's a case involving a company known as Caremark, which is a corporation which was involved in healthcare. Any of you who happen to have ventured into a CVS know that CVS and Caremark are affiliated, Caremark provides all kinds of medical assistance to people, and it is a healthcare company, and it provides medications, and that's why it's affiliated with CVS. It provides medical services to people, and the way it's structured is that these services are referred to them by a physician, and they can be reimbursed by not only insurance companies, but also by Medicaid, which is a government insurer for the indigent. And it has made a lot of money. It's a very successful company. And in the mid-90s, it was the subject of a shareholder derivative action. And that's the case that we're going to talk about tonight. Because of the fact that under the Medicaid guidelines, which are established by the Department of Health and Human Services, we've seen a lot of their activity this year because of the fact of the coronavirus, because they've been very active with respect to trying to provide treatments and insurance coverage for that. The Health and Human Services oversees the Medicaid rules, and they help to provide that. Well, in the 1990s, Health and Human Services started to see where there was an inordinate amount of referrals going over to Caremark, far more than they thought was appropriate for the services that were being done. So they started to investigate, and they found out that there were payoffs being made by salespeople who were dealing with physicians, that Caremark was actually providing referral payments to physicians for making the referrals over to Caremark. And it's a very competitive business, and people who wanted, the salespeople work on commissions, and it turned out that they were paying physicians to be able to get these referrals over. Now, the shareholders were reading about this in the newspaper, and they were seeing news articles on it, and television news on it. And it turned out that when Health and Human Services were investigating them, that there is a federal statute that says you cannot pay for a referral. So Health and Human Services referred this problem that they found with Caremark over to the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice initiated a prosecution against Caremark for violating this federal statute. It's called the anti-referral law. And they brought an action against Caremark to prosecute them criminally for violating this federal law. Well, the prosecution eventually settled with the Justice Department, but they paid a very hefty multi-million dollar fine out of this, and many of the shareholders were very distressed about this and sued the directors and the officers of Caremark, saying they did not provide sufficient oversight over their employees to tell them not to do this. Now, there was no evidence whatsoever, and the Justice Department didn't find any evidence of this either, that there was some kind of corporate policy to pay these referrals. that there was no board action whereby the director said, you know, we're going to do a referral program where we're going to compensate physicians for giving us referrals. None of that happened. And the officers were never found to have instructed their employees, oh, pay these referrals, you'll get more of them. None of that was found in either the Health and Human Services investigation or in the Justice Department prosecution. All what happened was these referrals were definitely being paid, but it appeared from all the investigations that they were being paid by the salespeople in return for getting more referrals, and they get they worked off commission, so they got more business, and as a result of that, they were just using this basically to try and pad the employee's own pocket rather than just the corporation. But when the when they brought this litigation, the shareholders couldn't say, hey, listen, you passed a resolution board saying to provide referrals, and they couldn't say that the officers were directly encouraging this behavior or directing this behavior, which was a violation of federal law. So what they did was they brought a legal action and said, you weren't paying close enough attention, weren't providing sufficient oversight over your employees, and you negligently allowed them to do this. Well, the court looked at this action and this shareholder derivative action and said, was there a breach of the fiduciary duty? Well, part of any fraudulent action, because this would involve fraud, whereby they were violating a federal law to try and get more referrals, it requires what we call a scienter requirement, which means they knowingly provide a misrepresentation of a material fact. In this case, they're paying out that referral in violation of federal law in order to get that referral back and then filing reports back with their supervisors, who are the officers and the directors, saying, you know, they're paying us referrals and we didn't do anything to get them. Well, the court looked at this and said, if you are doing a supervision claim, because that's what this is, it's a breach of a duty of care, there has to be an intent standard here that just simply isn't met. Nowhere was it found that the directors or the officers intended for this to happen. They couldn't make that link. They couldn't make that nexus. So as a result of that, the court did not find that there was a violation of that duty of care, that fiduciary duty. Now, the court did opine, interestingly enough, they said, had this been a duty of loyalty claim, whereby one of the officers or one of the directors was benefiting from these payments and that they were pursuing these payments to the physicians because they were personally benefiting, that would be a duty of loyalty claim, and that probably would have been sufficient evidence to be able to hold in this derivative action. But the duty of care, just meaningly saying, hey, you weren't paying enough attention, because that's what the court said. They said, yeah, they might not have been paying enough attention, but that in and of itself does not constitute sufficient evidence to hold for a shareholder derivative action. Kind of an interesting case, because obviously it was illegal conduct that was occurring here. Obviously the shareholders or obviously the directors and the officers have a duty to supervise their employees. And there was no argument that these employees weren't supervised. It's just they weren't supervised sufficiently enough to tell them not to break the federal law. So as a result of this, it's interesting, the case did eventually settle, by the way, and there was payments made to the corporation by the in the settlement that was in there. And one of the things that they did in the settlement was the board adopted policies to say no referrals. They were silent on it before that, but they adopted policies. I'm sure their legal division told them, do this, it's a good idea. You don't want to be breaking federal law. We're heavy into Medicaid payments. You want to be in compliant with Health and Human Services and Department of Justice. So the board passed resolutions with a code of conduct for employees that they can't turn around and provide any favoritism or favors or monetary payments to physicians. The directors directed the officers to hold training for employees to improve their salesmanship methodologies so that they wouldn't provide payments or gifts to the physicians anymore on that. And as the court took all of this into consideration, and at the end of the day, did not hold for the shareholder derivative action. But the one thing you got to remember, one of the reasons why they didn't hold that is, remember, it's the corporation itself that benefits from a shareholder derivative action, not particularly the shareholders directly. And the court said, look at the officers and directors who represent the corporation, not the employees who are kind of detached, were not at fault on this. And the fact that they weren't paying as close attention as maybe somebody wanted them to doesn't mean that they broke the law. So there we are. It is interesting to say that the federal government, in their prosecution, which they settled the action, but they did find that they did break the Medicaid laws on the payment referrals. So there we are. We'll see you next week. And thanks so much for paying attention and for listening.